must hear it and we must receive it and we must walk it out in our lives. And you promised us that we would never be disappointed because you are with us. And what a blessing it is, Lord, to be able to walk by faith and not moved by what we see, by what we hear, not even by how we feel, but we're moved by what we believe. Yes. Hallelujah. And that is the word of truth. That is the word of faith. Hallelujah. That is the word of life. Yes. And we thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word, and I'm resting in that right now. And I ask you, Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Let everything I say bring glory and honor to you and be directed by the Holy Spirit. Father, I want them to see Christ and not me. And Father, we give you the glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I didn't do this, but I want to welcome everyone that's watching us by way of the live stream, whether you're watching us live or whether you're watching us later on. I want to welcome you. Praise God. And I pray for you, too, that you would have open ears and open heart to receive God's word. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory be to God. All right. I want you to turn once again, I say once again because I didn't finish last week, so we're going to jump back in this week. Joshua, the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter, the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to know what God is doing, or one of the things that God is doing, listen to me real good. God is getting his people prepared for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming back. But I want to say this. Not only is he getting us prepared for the return of the Son of God, he's also getting us prepared to do a work here on this earth. Are you listening to me? Amen. Just kind of gently, lovingly, just nudge the person beside you and ask them, are you here today? Amen. And notice I said lovingly. Lovingly. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to pick something out. How many teachers, there are other professions in here too, but I'll just ask, how many teachers do I have here today? Just raise your hand. If you're a teacher, raise it high. Amen. God bless you. All righty. Thank you. Now, I want to ask you a question, and this applies to practically everything. Did you just walk into the classroom one day and just walk into the principal's office, I guess I should say, and just tell them, hey, listen, I decided I want to be a teacher. So where's my class? Well, the principal is going to say, sorry, ma'am, sorry, sir. It don't work that way. You know, we need some information. We need some information concerning your education. We need to know something about you, some things about you, and so forth. We want to know, you know, where you went to school and all that. And if the response is, well, forget that stuff. That none of that matters. I just want to teach me some children. No, ma'am, no, sir. Please, I want to teach. Now let me teach. Well, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be asked to leave. And if you refuse to leave, you're going to be escorted out, because it just don't work that way. In other words, what's my point? My point is let's get back to the teachers. They must be well prepared to do what they do. They have to go to school. I think they're background checks done. Am I right on that, guys? Do they do background checks? You know, want to make sure you know you're not want to make sure everything's straight. And when they're satisfied, then guess what? They'll turn you loose with the children. My point is, too many times we want God to do things for us, or we say we want to do things for God, or we want God to bless us, especially when it comes to finances. You know, folks love to hear sermons concerning finances, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because we have bills to be paid, we have to eat, and we have to have a place to stay, and so forth. So, you know, we have to have finances to have all those things. But here's the point. We want God to bless us. We want God to anoint us. But too many times, we are not willing to sacrifice, make the sacrifices that God requires of us. Jesus said if we're going to follow him, we need to take up our cross, didn't he? And follow him. Which means, that means it's going to take some sacrifice. Amen. It's going to take some work on our part. It's going to take some prayer time. It's going to take some word time. You still here? It's going to take, we must spend time in the Word of God. We must spend time in prayer. And let me add this, we must spend time in fellowship. In other words, we must do what the Word of God says to do. If you really want to reap the benefits, you got to do what he says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So my subject again is choices. Choices. And let me go ahead and read our verse here. Joshua chapter 24. Did I tell you chapter 24? Okay. Verse 14. I read this to you last week. Joshua is speaking to the people. He says, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him, insincerity. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Let me start over. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and how else? In sincerity and in truth. In sincerity and in truth. Not just what you can get out of him. I've heard it put this way. God wants us to seek his face first and not just what he has in his hand. Amen. Let me say that again. He wants us to seek his face. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If we'll seek his face, we are more than welcomed to what's in his hand. Are you still here? Hallelujah. So Joshua's speaking to the folk. He says, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. And, everybody say, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Now look at verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Are you still here? Everybody say choices. He said, if you don't want to serve the Lord, then go ahead and make a choice who you're going to serve. Choose who you're going to serve. And he went on to say, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But, hallelujah, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. For me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And he's telling the folks, you go do whatever you want to do. I've already told you what you should be doing. But if you're determined that you're going to serve other gods, the gods of the Amorites, the other gods of your forefathers, you go right ahead. But for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Hallelujah. And I mentioned last week, and I won't go into that again this week. You can listen to last week's message. But I did mention the fact that men, how many of you know Joshua was a man? Yes, he was. And men need to step up and take the lead in their home. For God. It's easy to tell your wife, respect me, woman. Respect me, woman. I'm the husband. I'm the man in this house. Respect me, respect me. Well, I like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, follow me as I follow the Lord. As I follow Christ. So, if we are going to follow Christ, if we make that choice to follow Christ, guess what? We put ourselves in a position to be followed and looked up to and cherished and loved. Are you still here? Hallelujah. What a privilege. What an honor to be a man of God. Amen. Now, I want to say this. I got to move on, but I want to say this to you. I thank God for godly women. I thank God for women that pressed on, says, I'm going for God. I'm getting up early on Sunday morning, and I'm going to church, even if I did lose an hour last night. I'm getting up, I'm going to church. Look back at the husband, he's still in bed snoring. She shake him, say, wake up, honey. We got to go to church. You go on. I'll catch up with you later. But you know what? Many of them press their way anyway. Hallelujah. Can I say something else to you? I know I've got to move on, but this is so important. And this applies to me and my wife and my family too. I don't care who it is. You can write this down. I don't care who it is. You are not to love anyone more than you love God. Let me say that one again. You are not to love anyone more than you love God. Now, in the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not have any other, God says, thou shalt not have any other God before me, right? And he also said he's a jealous God, right? Well, now that includes your spouse. Amen. Can I let you in on something else? I guess that's the reason I don't ever get finished. I want to let you in on something. If you want to know how to really, really, really love your husband or love your wife with the God kind of love, it's called the agape love of God, with God's kind of love. If you want to really love them, you put God first. And that agape love that flows from him will flow through you, and you will love your spouse. You'll love your children. Well, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about, but I know I love my wife. I know I love my husband. Well, listen, if you put God first, it gets sweeter. Hallelujah. Many folks love their spouses or their children or their boyfriend, girlfriend. It's, as I've heard it put, natural human love, and a lot of it's just emotional. Because as soon as they do something you don't like, say something you don't like, you're out of there. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I know some of you think, Pastor, I sure wish you'd stop meddling, go start preaching. Honey, I'm preaching. Amen. And I want to say this while I'm on the subject. When you put God first, you can love your neighbor. No wonder Jesus said, when they asked him which is the greatest commandment, he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind. Right? But he didn't stop there. He said, but notice, said love God first. Am I right? Said love God first. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And when you love God first, you can love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Well, glory be to God. Are you still here? Praise God. So Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a choice he made. Life is full of choices. Amen. Life is full of choices. I talked to you last Sunday, concerning choices when it comes to relationships. And I want to tell you, folks, there have been many, many bad choices made when it comes to relationship. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Glory to God. Are you getting anything yet? You love the Word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Well, I hope you still love it after I read this. I told you 2 Corinthians, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's see where I want to begin. All righty. I'll just begin at verse 11. I'll just start there. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own what? Affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Look at verse 14. Now, this is the word of God, right? Do not be unequally yoked together with who? With who? Is that in your Bible? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people.
Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Somebody shout amen. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Everybody say choices. Hallelujah. Remember, I told you earlier, God is getting us ready. Let me say this to you. It don't matter who you are sitting here listening to me or who's watching. I want to say this. I've said it many, many times. I want to say it again today. No matter who you are, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, for that matter, God has a purpose for your life. You just didn't pop in out of thin air. You were formed and fashioned by Almighty God. And He has a purpose for your life. Look at somebody, tell them, say, God has a purpose for your life. But Pastor, you don't understand. I can't do this and I can't do that and blah, 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 blah. Forget the blah, blah. What God is calling us to do is to be obedient. Amen. He called us to be obedient. He called us to love Him. And He'll do the rest. God gave you your personality. God wants to use your personality. And when I say personality, I'm talking about a person that's in the Word of God. Now, you know, if you're hot-tempered and this sort of, you know, you need to deal with that. But God wants to use it to be a blessing to someone else. You ever heard people say, man, I just love it when she smiles. It just blessed me when I see her smile, or when I see her smiling face, or his smiling face. It's just such a blessing. It's just so comforting to me. Guess what? God's using your smile to be a blessing to someone. Every one of you in here, every one of you listening to me can be a blessing, and you were created to be a blessing. All of us were. But we got to put God first. Too many times we want to do our own thing. Amen. I'll take whatever amens I can get on that. You have to understand, why does God hate sinners, unbelievers? Absolutely not. He told us to go out and reach the lost, right? When He says, when the Word of God tells us to come out from among them, He's not saying hate the unbeliever or act like you're better than the unbeliever, because all of us are saved by what? Grace. Everybody got a pass. And some folks' pass is worse than others. But thank God for His saving grace. So we can't act like we're better than anybody. But God has said, I want you to come out from among them and put yourself in a position so I can use you to be a blessing to someone else. Say, I'm called to be a blessing. We're
called to be a blessing. We're called to bless. So God says, come in out of the darkness. Don't. As a believer, we don't need to be at the clubs drinking, cussing, fornicating. Now look, folks, it's the word of God. Now I've heard people say, Pastor, you know, you got to be careful about it. Because you don't want to run people off. You don't want to run people off. Listen. I don't want a church full of spiritual babies. Now, every good church should have some babies. If you're winning the loss. You understand what I'm saying? If you're reaching the lost, if you're reaching out, telling them about Jesus. But God is a God of love. Can I? Amen. But God practices tough love. In other words, He tells us the truth about ourselves. If you don't believe it, look at the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was the perfect example of love. Don't get no better than Jesus. It can't get no better than Jesus. Perfect example of love. Yet, there were times when Jesus had to be tough for their own good. I say for their own good. Jesus never said anything or did anything to hurt anybody and bring them down. Whatever he did, it was to help them. Even when he whipped them out the temple, it was for their good. He whipped them out. They better be glad lightning didn't strike them. Now, I'm sure they were very upset at him for that, but you know what? What he did was there for their good and for his Father's glory. Because they were abusing the temple of God. Sometimes it takes tough love for people to hear you. Sometimes when you pat them on the back and tell them, it's all right, honey. It's all right, sweetie. Now, don't get me wrong. Some folk need that. But there's some folks, it takes more than that. You got to be straight with them. Because if you don't be straight with them, they don't hear you. Yeah, Pastor, but if I do that, you know, they may never come back to church. Well, that's the reason you pray first. The Holy Spirit will direct you on how to deal with different people. Do you believe Jesus was led by the Spirit of God? Yes, he was. He had the Holy Ghost. Read the Gospels. God wants to get us in position. I keep saying that, but it is so true. And you have to understand, see, God says come out from among them. The Word of God says come out from among them. But we have to understand then that at one time we were darkness. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Say, God is getting us ready. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness. It didn't say once in darkness. It says you were once darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are what? Light in the Lord. So what are we to do then? Walk as children of light. Let me read a little more in chapter 5 here. Let's go back up to verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. See, that's what we're supposed to do, right? I say, right? King James Version say, be followers of God. Am I right? But that means to imitate, to be like God. Work on being like God. Work on being like Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to talk like Jesus. I want to act like Jesus. No, I'm not perfect yet, but I'm working on it. Are you listening to me? And that's what God is telling us. Not just to remain idle. Make a choice. I'm going after Jesus. So therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And what, my goodness, what does he say next? Oh, do we see that throughout the scriptures? Walk in love, because if you're going to imitate God, you're going to have to walk in love. You're going to have to live in love. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling aroma. Now, let me have your attention. I hope I have it already. But, everybody say but. Fornication, is that in your Bible? And all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Now, I'm not meddling in anybody's business. I'm just preaching the word of God. Husbands need to go home to their own wives. Wives need to go home to their own husbands. Uncleanness, which includes perversion, covetousness, wanting. Someone else has, and so forth. Listen to this. It don't stop there. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. Pastor, I wish you'd get off of that and go ahead and start preaching on how God can bless me with more money. I am preaching on how God can will bless you with more money. Yes. We do walk by faith. We live by faith. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But James says, that's the book of James, that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So let me read on again. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, dirty jokes, filthy jokes, which are not fitting. But what should we be doing, folks? But rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man or woman, who is an idolater, who has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Didn't get amen, I heard a moan. Let no one deceive you with empty words. You hear me? I said, do you hear me? Let no one deceive you with empty words. Oh, you all right, honey. You just go ahead and do your thing. God understands. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And I read verse 8, I'll read it again. And you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And it goes on, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I want to know what he accepts. I want to know what's acceptable to him. Hallelujah. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And it goes on. You can read the entire chapter. What am I saying? We need to make a choice that I am going to live by the word of God. Purity is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Living right's a choice. You make that decision. Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That was his choice. Hallelujah. Let me go a step further. I'm going to wind this up here shortly. But let me take you a step further. The choices you make today will determine your future. Last Sunday, we were talking about relationship. Let's look at romantic relationships, for example. If you're single and you choose the wrong person for you to be your spouse, you're setting up your future for misery. Unless God work a miracle. I would hate to know every time I walk in my house, my wife look up and say, oh my God, he's here again. I sure wish I hadn't married him. Choices. Everybody say choices. Well, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I know the Word of God too. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. That's talking about a healthy relationship. Both of you born again, love the Lord, love each other, love the Lord first, love each other. Why put it off? Go ahead and get married. Lest you fall into sin. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But if you're a guy and you see this sexy person, woman. She says she loves you. You say you love her, but you don't know each other. You better not get married. I know I've meddled pretty good today. Can I tell you something? Y'all want to hear any more? There's only a few things we got to have. Food. And you don't have to have that every day. You'd be hungry, but you'll still be alive. Water. Got to have some water, right? Because that's air. Right? Yeah, we got to have, got to breathe. But there's one thing you don't have to have. Starts with an S. Sex. Sex is good in its proper place between a man and his wife, or wife and her husband. That's the reason. Even the Apostle Paul said, I keep my body under. It can try to get wild on you. That's the reason you need this right here. The Word of God. You need the Word of God. And another thing we need to do is pray. You need a prayer life. I'm here to tell you, God will help you if you will let him. Now, I touched on this last week, and, you know, I'm not trying to preach a popular sermon, but you're going to, we have to do some things, too. Now, you know, if we are watching sex movies, you're going to awake some passions on the inside of you that were asleep until you woke them up. And they were supposed to remain asleep until the right time. Everybody say the right time. That's when I'm married to my husband or my wife. Y'all glad you came to church today? I really am going to let you go home. I'm not trying to make your life miserable. But what I'm endeavoring to do is to preach to you the truth. Lift your hand to the Lord. Lift your right hand to the Lord. Just kind of look up towards heaven and say, Lord, help me to never believe a lie. You can take your hand down. Now, if you mean that, he'll help you. See, that's one of the things that Jesus talked about when he was talking to his disciples before he went to the cross. Talk about the end times and the destruction of the temple and so forth. And one of the things that he said that the church would have to deal with in the last days was deception and false prophets. Go back and read it. Deceivers and false prophets. That's the reason we need to know the Word of God, walk in His Word, obey His Word. And we'll be in a place where God can use us for His glory. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I never get as far as I think I'm going to get. Thank you for the encouragement there, brother. Glory.